Our reading tonight and devotional will be coming from the 17th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 17. Jesus is addressing his disciples as he teaches them. He had just related the parable or account, rather, of the rich man and Lazarus. At chapter 17, he begins to teach them some things that are vital, necessary for their understanding, that they might, as his disciples, be prepared to, in their relationship with those around them, affect in a positive way and not a negative way their fellow man. And beginning there in verse 17, in chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus talks about what is translated in some versions as offenses. Some have it as stumbling blocks. Others translate it as temptation to sin. And that's what it's talking about. When you see the word offense here, it is not talking about you just hurt my feelings, made me feel bad. It's actually a reference to that which causes one to stumble into sin. So he says there in verse 1, then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. So Jesus first here, as he talks about things his disciples need to learn in their living, he says, you don't want to be the cause of somebody's sin. There's lots of situations that arise in life that will cause people to stumble into sin. Don't be one of them. Don't live your life in such a way. Don't communicate things, teach things, be any kind of an influence that would cause someone to stumble or fall into sin. Now, you could do that by teaching a doctrine that was not true, not of God. You could do it by how you lived your life, causing someone, you might do something that caused someone to stumble in the realm of morality. It could be doctrine. It could be a number of things. But do not, he says, be the person through whom that occasion to sin comes. Because this is a great sin, he says. This is so terrible in the eyes of God that he says it would be better for someone who causes another to sin, to offend, or to be a stumbling block, it'd be better for that person if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown in the depths of the sea than that he should offend or cause one to sin. Who? One of these little ones. That is, one of God's sheep. He had used, in other parallel passages, talk about little children being brought to him. The lesson is not just, you know, it would be a terrible thing to cause a child to sin. It'd be a terrible thing to cause anybody to sin. I mean, that's what God is all about. He doesn't want anybody to sin. And we should not be the means through which someone is caused to sin. Don't ever let that happen. And then, now he continues a thought, and this is now, what if you're on the receiving end? Someone sins against you. How do you deal with that? Well, your brother comes to you, you are to rebuke him for that sin, and then if he repents, you are to forgive him. And in fact, he says, you're to be so forgiving, so willing to help that person and forgive that person that you would, if it repeatedly was done to you, and they come to you and they ask forgiveness, you must be willing to forgive them. This is a disposition of heart that is tender and merciful. It is a disposition of heart that would reflect how God is with us. Because God is in this very manner willing to hear us and forgive us on a repeated basis because of our weaknesses and our failures and how we sin against Him. Well, when the disciples hear these things, don't you ever be the cause of somebody's sin? And if somebody sins against you, you always be ready to forgive them. They say, Lord, increase our faith. We need help here. We need to become stronger in faith because how easy is it to do these things? They understood the implications of what he was saying, and therefore their request to the Lord is, help us to be stronger in faith. And then Jesus making a point about faith is, even if you had a little bit of faith, even with a small faith, you can do great things. He talks about this mustard seed. If you had faith like a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. You could have great things accomplished through your life if you will have faith in God, even small faith. But true faith, if present in the life of one of the Lord's disciples, any of us as His followers, if we have that little faith and we act upon that little faith, believing and trusting in the Lord and moving forward, He can accomplish and through us do great things. Do we believe that? Do we go forth with faith in our hearts to accomplish the work that God has given us to do, whether it be saving souls, restoring brethren, meeting various needs that need to be met? Believers accomplish great things through the Lord. But then, as he talks about having such great faith that you could do great works with and for the Lord, he reminds us in this lesson, the parable that he teaches to follow, that there's a great need to be humble and to remember what our place is and where we stand before God. We might do great things, but in the end, here's how we need to think of ourselves. And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So Jesus gives this parable that they would understand. This was a time in which there were servants, household servants that had various tasks that they were responsible for. They might have spent all day out in the field, plowing, tending to the animals, whatever it might be. When they come back, he says, what would you expect? How would a master handle that situation? What would be the normal expectation? This is not the presentation of an overbearing master. He's saying, this is how it is to function. This is the normal path that you would understand would be taken. And that is, the servant comes in and he tends to his master's needs. He does his master's will. And so even after a day's work, he comes back and in the evening he then serves his master by providing for his master the food that he needs, tending to those things. And then after all of that is taken care of, he himself will tend to his own needs. That's the proper order. And the master, what is his disposition? Does he thank that servant as if he owes him something when the servant has just simply done what the servant knows he's supposed to do? He says, no. Instead, he says, you're to have the mindset, not of God owes me, or that I have done great things for God, and so here's how it should be, but instead, have the mindset that we all understand in the master-servant relationship, that we are to just always be servants of God who are throughout our lives, day in, day out, fulfilling the will of our Father, and that when we even do all of those things, what is our mindset? Look at verse 10. So likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. All of the things that God has in the pages of this great book instructed us to do are normal expectations. These things come from what person? The one who has fashioned us, brought us into existence, that has imparted into us a portion of his very nature. We have eternal spirits. We are brought into existence by God himself. And that God who has made us then has the right to tell us what is expected of us. And we, if we have anywhere near the right attitude, understand that I must comply with the one with the things commanded of me that have been told to me by the one who made me. And that when I go out and do all of those things and may accomplish great things because of my faith for God, still my attitude is to be one of humility. Understanding no matter what great things are accomplished, they were accomplished for God and really through God. Because without Him, what am I? Nothing. And could do nothing. And would have no proper bearing as to what the right thing to do would be. My knowledge of God, my understanding of the right course, whatever degree of faith I have to be able to do His will is given to me by Him. That is what we attain by seeking out and growing spiritually through what God gives us in His Word. And then, when we have accomplished what we need to do, we have the mindset as humble servants of God, we're just doing what is expected of us. It is our duty to do this. Think of someone like the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, others that we remember in the Scriptures as being people of great faith and who accomplished great things for God. And yet the attitude is always humble. It is always, like Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. Christ came and died for me. He made me an example of what can be accomplished even with someone like me. And he owes it all to the grace of God and the mercy of God. See, this is the attitude that we should have. Let us have the mindset that we are going to go out and be faithful servants of God every day, that we are going to try to accomplish great things for Him, but that in accomplishing those things, we have just simply been servants doing what was expected of us, having humble hearts. Let us also remember that we are to be people of a forgiving nature, as Jesus taught here. Always really willing to forgive, seeking to bring about reconciliation. That's the heart of a servant of God. And that as we go through life, we will in no way, shape, or form be the cause that contributes to someone's sin, their downfall spiritually. Instead, let us build up, let us strengthen. Let us never do anything that would be a stumbling block to others, because the Lord shows us the way that in our relationship to one another and in our relationship to God, what the proper course is. Tonight you may not be a child of God at this point in your life. Maybe your sins are not washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. The pattern set forth in the Scriptures shows us what people in the first century did in their response to the teaching that they received. They were taught to believe on Jesus Christ, to turn away from their sins, to confess that faith. They were commanded to be baptized, and this was a process by which God brought them from darkness to light, from being lost to being saved. Those who responded to the gospel call, for example, in Acts chapter 2, were added by God to the church, as we see in the end of that book, in that chapter. This process is the same process that is to happen today, and you tonight can be obedient to the same truth, be added by God to the same church, and be among the saved, and continuing faithfully to serve God, have that hope of eternal life. If you need to respond to His call, we encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing.